KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Money Live with Jerry Bowe and Josh Jordan.
We came, we saw, and we conquered all in one half. We don't even need a second half. We only needed 18 minutes, but now I look at the score. Woo, I hit the over. Leverkusen on the money line, 4-1 lead. I told you to hit the over for the game, and I told you to hit Leverkusen team total. Is that good? It's good enough to keep listening to the show.
Moneyline with Jerry Bowe and Josh Jordan. Sunday mornings from 10 to noon on ESPN 97.5. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
The Rays pounded him, and not much you can say about it other than you reload for Game 4, which apparently Verlander's going to start, so they're going to have to beat Verlander and Cole. If you're the Astros, you'll take that.
We talked about this before. We assumed that if they were up 2-1, they would pitch Urquidy in Game 4.
That's what I thought would happen, too.
To me, knowing that the Yankees are going to probably finish off this series, if I'm the Astros, I would have pitched Urquidy. I don't know that I'm going straight to Verlander on short rest. I wouldn't panic about this game. Your Houston Texans come out with certainly their best offensive performance of the season. There's no question.
Yeah.
And probably the best performance of Deshaun Watson's life.
You can't ask for any more in the NFL. You can't ask for any more than that.
I mean, he was unbelievable.
Just as many incompletions as he had touchdowns.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, and send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. And you can also watch us on Twitch. Just go to Twitch and click on ESPN 975, or go to ESPN975.com, click on Twitch. You can watch us. Comment there in the chat function there. And if you missed any of the first 2 hours, that's some of what you missed. Lots of sports today, basically, because it was a sportsy weekend. So, talked about Astros, talked about Texans, talked about Daryl Morey. And, so that was the first 2 hours plus an extra 13 minutes since we came on early after the game. A lot of people were asking, why does the Yankees game impact the Blitz tomorrow? Well, here's the thing. If the Yankees win, then the Astros will be in primetime. So the Blitz will be on because we're carrying the Astros games here. If the Yankees lose to the Twins tonight, then the Astros will be the 3 o'clock game. There will be no Blitz. So it's that simple.
Sad.
Yeah, sad. That's per the program director here. Having said that, if you were a betting person, I would bet we have a Blitz tomorrow. I told you this off air. And,
this is crazy to me.
Yeah. The Minnesota Twins have lost 15 consecutive postseason games. I mean, that's
not good, I don't think.
By the way, that's a record.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, shocker. So, and 12 of those games have been against the Yankees.
Okay.
So, if you're a betting person,
you're saying the Yankees are Minnesota's daddy.
Daddy, uncle, creepy uncle who sneaks in late at night. They're a little bit of all of those.
Okay.
And the Twins are their Ed Norton in the shower. Mm. It's that simple.
That's too bad.
So, if you're interested in hearing a Blitz tomorrow, you can count on the fact that that's going to be the deciding factor. So there you go. All right.
Odorizzi versus Severino.
Severino's been pretty good since he's been back.
I mean, he's pitched like two games this whole season. So, but the Yankees are -142.
Well, I kind of feel like, man, you might beat me the first 15 times, but you're not going to get me 16.
No, you won't get me this time.
No, not 16. Yeah, that doesn't look good. All right, can we do some college football? Let's go to the top 25 first. And we'll start with the Friday night game, which you had, Brad had, I had. One of the few things I did right this weekend. I was dropping 2-4. But Cincinnati beats UCF 27-24. I wasn't surprised by that at all. I don't think you were either.
I wasn't either. They dominated the second half of that game. Defense is what it boiled down to. That's the least amount of points.
Cincinnati has a very good defense.
Central Florida has not scored less than 30, and like they had set a record for consecutive 30-point games, I think, and like got taken away. 27-24 final, but yeah, Cincinnati played really well. Despite the fact that, I mean, Dylan Gabriel wasn't awful.
No, he had a pretty good game.
Yeah.
And they came up with some stops at the right time, and they made it really difficult on them. Took away a lot of the big plays that Central Florida has, and I think that was the difference. Georgia 43, Tennessee 14.
Yeah, and it could have been worse. I know that doesn't sound like too much of a blowout, but it could have been worse.
They could have named their score there.
Jake Fromm had his way early on, and Tennessee got a couple points across early. Like they got some touchdowns in, but Georgia in the second half just basically cruise controlled.
Ohio State 34-10. Nothing slows down Ohio State right now.
Well, it was under 49.5. Thank you.
That's all you cared about.
Mostly, I was concerned because I had a feeling, much like I'd said with the Patriots, Redskins. I was like, I don't know that Michigan State could score on these guys. And they put up 10 points at halftime. I'm like, oh, no. 7 points in the second half total. So 34-10 was good. But, yeah, Ohio State, another good day for J.K. Dobbins, 172 yards. And Lewerke for Michigan State was actually pretty good.
Yeah, he was.
But Ohio State is just, they're taking teams that, you know, are supposed to be competitive with them and making these games non-competitive.
Yeah, I think it's real interesting. Because to me, there's five or six teams that have really separated themselves, and they just beat the crap out of everybody every week. And LSU's one of them. Now Utah State's not anything special, but they're not a total donkey. But LSU was just trying to get through that game. They're looking ahead, and
yeah, I've got a weird sort of, I'm internally torn on what I thought of LSU on Saturday, because LSU wanted to get through that game without having to work.
Yeah.
And it was pretty obvious early on for about the first quarter and a half that, it's almost crazy to say this about LSU football, but if they don't throw the football, they can't really move the football. They can't run the ball anymore. It's very odd. And I think that's what they wanted to do against Utah State and just get that game over with. And Utah State was like, no, you're going to have to beat us the old country way. And they were like, okay, well, Joe Burrow, get out there. Go for six touchdowns, get us the big one. And at the end of the day, it's a dominant performance, which is what it should have been.
Right.
But it's a little disheartening, I guess, that they weren't able to just establish dominance the way they were trying to. To their credit, though, the defense looked really good, because Utah State, even though they're Utah State, Utah State's a good offense, and they're a fast offense, they're a pace offense, and LSU basically shut it down after the first quarter.
I'd call him Jose Burrow.
Okay.
Oklahoma, another one. I think they're looking ahead to Texas, and they were
sleepy early in that game too.
Yeah, and then they got a big lead and then let Kansas score a couple late. But 45-20, the final. I think this is what we've been waiting for. OU Texas.
Yep, and I think the number opened up at 11 today or 10
really?
And a half. Yeah,
really.
Yeah,
that feels high to me.
Feels high.
I think I will be on Bevo for that. Florida beats Auburn 24-13. It was kind of the big game of the day, but pretty ugly football game. I do think Florida's good, but I think when I look at Auburn, I think they're a cut below the...
I think Auburn was a little bit overrated coming into this.
I still think Florida's a little overrated.
I don't think Florida's that great. And by the way, if you're into that sort of thing, you can find LSU at 13 right now against Florida for next week. I tend to like LSU.
Yeah, I think LSU is going to put the hurt on Florida.
But this was not a surprise to me that Florida was able to do this to Auburn. So I kind of assumed that they would be able to run at will on Auburn. And I've been saying for a while, Kyle Trask is not that big of a downgrade. So
no.
Good performance
and
for Florida.
He's getting better and better as he goes. I mean, the guy hasn't played that much football in his life.
Yeah. And I think, you know, again, I'm saying that they're going to get crushed next week. But it's funny how we look at Florida and they're 6-0 and they're the University of Florida and no one takes them seriously. They just beat a top 10 team. still no one's really taking them seriously, myself included.
I'm not either.
I might get punished for that, but...
Yeah, if they go out and beat LSU, I'll start taking them seriously.
Oh, if they go out and beat LSU, they are serious.
I just think LSU's in that group with the Georgias and Ohio States and Oklahomas and Alabamas.
I think so, too.
And you know, Clemson. But the thing is,
I didn't have them there to start the season.
I do now.
But, yeah, they're the same as Ohio State. I had Ohio State and LSU a little bit lower.
Yeah.
Coming into the season than where they are now. They're both way better than I expected them to
be. And I think another team that might belong in that conversation is Wisconsin. I mean, I know it was Kent State, but they really haven't been tested yet either. And I mean, beating Michigan's okay, but this looks like a different Wisconsin team. I've said it every week.
How about through five games, they've given up less than 30 points?
Let's see, what does that add up to? That's like gonna carry the
five. That's 6 points per game, Fred.
Yeah, that's is that good?
That's above average. That's above the average for the national average.
Notre Dame beat Bowling Green. Nothing really to say there. Boy, this Texas-West Virginia game. If you were on the 11.5, West Virginia plus 11.5.
I'm sorry.
Then good for you. I think most people got it around 10.5. Then good for Texas. That just depended on what you got the number at.
Yeah, and that was another game where, you know, it was close for a while, and then Texas really started to figure it out. Yeah. They
had way too much talent for West Virginia.
The problem with West Virginia is going to be the problem all year long is that they can't run the ball. No. And if you can't ever run the ball, I don't think they had their first run until the second quarter. I mean,
and they don't pass well enough to be able to do that.
They don't. So they're going to struggle. I mean, the fact that they put up 31 points is telling. Although, like we said coming into the week, I mean, Texas was super thin defensively. They're missing a lot of guys right now. And they sat a lot of guys knowing that they had Oklahoma next week, hoping to get them healthy. So it was an interesting test for them to play sort of with a hand tied behind their back. And, you know, they get the win. Ellinger didn't look great, but...
He was good enough.
Devin Duvernay, that's a bad dude. That is a third down converting machine.
And one more before we go to break. The Florida of the Big Ten, Penn State, beats Purdue 35-7.
Yeah, we're still not taking them seriously. honestly, I was really frustrated with Penn State because that was one of my plays this week was Penn State minus 27.5, and 35-7 tells you it got there.
Barely.
It was 28-0. They let Purdue score right before half, and then they turn it over. So the end of the half is disgusting. I think, I was actually happy that they went in 28-7 because I said, James Franklin is going to be salty. Because James Franklin he's a better's best friend because he's a coach that doesn't feel sorry for you. He will go out and embarrass teams. And Purdue came out and fought in that. And Purdue's missing everything on offense.
Right.
Everything. So I knew they weren't going to score much. But defensively, they came down and they said, hey, we're taking away the deep stuff. You want to beat us, you're going to have to beat us 5 yards at a time. And Penn State was like, we don't know how to do this. And they finally get a touchdown late and cover for me. But it was uncomfortable. Certainly. I wasn't impressed with what I saw at Penn State against a Purdue team that had nobody on the offensive side of the ball.
All right. I think the Cardinals have just won 5-4.
All right. That means there's a game five, right?
It means there will be a game five there.
It will be on Wednesday. All right, guys. Simple, honest electricity. That's what Triangle Energy is all about. When it's blazing hot outside, you can be cool and comfortable inside while enjoying a low electricity rate from Triangle Energy. Guys, stop worrying about your electricity provider. Start saving with Triangle Energy. They offer worry-free electricity. What that means, no hidden fees, no gimmicks, just top-of-the-line energy plans. And if you're a Dynamo fan, they got you hooked up. The Dash, the Dynamo, BBVA Compass, they're the official energy provider, and you can enroll in their Power to Win plan and have a chance to win free electricity for a year every time the Dynamo win at home. They'll let you lock in your rate for 12, 24, or 36 months. Avoid rate hikes and lock it in now. They keep it simple. The rate you see, that's the rate you pay. No gimmicks, no minimum usage fees. Good, honest electricity. 877-93-EAGLE or go to TriEagleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN for an additional discount. That's 877-93-EAGLE, TriEagleEnergy.com, promo code ESPN, PUCT license number 10064. You can never kill my heart.
clock and grab your job.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. A couple of things from the text line before we get back to the games. 281 asked, best interception of the year in the UT game. Boy, that's one of the best ones I've seen in a long
time. There.
Yeah. And then Pat in the 409 says, no Blitz tomorrow. Hey, man, bleep that. No, they're... We'll probably have a show. It just, if the Yankees win tonight, then we'll be on. If the Twins win, we won't. You'll be getting your Astros instead. So
and, it's up to you.
Yeah, and like
cheer
I said,
for the Yankees, cheer for the Twins. Your choice.
Well, and the Twins and have lost. They're about to lose 16 in a row.
So. And I have a secret for you. No matter who you cheer for, it doesn't matter. Your cheering won't affect the outcome of the game. I hate to break that to you.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn, because I was going to sit at home and cheer tonight because I really want to do a show tomorrow.
You can. It won't do anything. Okay. It won't change the outcome.
Damn. All right, let's get on to the rest of the top 25. Oregon 17, Cal 7.
My biggest L of the week. I thought Oregon was going to be able to just dominate this game. I thought their offense was on track.
Well, they really did in the third quarter. That was about it.
That was about it. Yeah, Cal... defensively, Cal is still very good. I just thought eventually they'd wear down. And Cal has this kid that's playing quarterback for them, Modster, is horrible. Usually when I say someone's horrible, I mean compared to their peers.
Yeah.
I don't know how this guy got to play in the Pac-12. I don't understand it at all. And unfortunately, Justin Herbert, who's going to be a first-round draft pick, wasn't a whole lot better than him on Saturday. So it was a really frustrating game for Oregon. They couldn't get anything going offensively. Scored zero. They were down 7-0 at halftime. And I knew Cal wasn't going to score much, but 7 was enough. And Oregon only puts up 17 in the second half. Not enough to cover. That was, to me, a disappointing performance for Oregon. A team that I thought was kind of, you know, the more I watched Auburn, I was like, you know what? They were ahead of that Auburn game except for 5 seconds. Maybe Oregon's better than we're all thinking. And now you get a chance at home, at night, against a backup quarterback. Disappointing showing.
Yeah, and I think Oregon's probably your last chance for a Pac-12 playoff team.
Oh, certainly, yeah.
But
especially now that Washington lost.
Yeah, and I think they took a little bit of a hit with Auburn's loss on that, too. Michigan...
Auburn was going to lose eventually, no matter what.
Yeah, but I mean, I think you can make a better case for Oregon if Auburn's able to beat Florida and just not beat Alabama, Georgia, LSU.
Yeah.
So... Michigan beats Iowa 10-3. Really fun to watch game.
Gosh,
there, yeah.
Gross.
It was,
yeah,
gross.
Nate Stanley with 3 interceptions. That was one of those games, and we were talking about this kind of during the break. It's funny how Michigan is, they're looked at as just these dogs because they got crushed by Wisconsin. And it tells you how important margin is to us in college football. Like, if you don't really beat the hell out of teams, we're not believing in you.
Yeah.
And, hell, it's gotten Clemson dropped down in the polls. They were number one all last year. And they're like, Alabama's beating the hell out of these teams. We're putting them ahead of Clemson. I'm like, in the NFL, you just win. That's right. All we care about. In college football, we're looking for
style points,
and Michigan is the antithesis of style points. And that's not going to change because Shea Patterson sucks. So,
yeah.
Michigan against a lot of teams is going to be good enough defensively to beat them. And they're 4-1. They're not terrible. They're not dead. But against the Ohio States, the Wisconsins, they're not going to keep up because Shea Patterson's just not any good.
Yeah, the gap between those teams feels larger than maybe what it really is. But
and I got to be honest, Michigan really needs to consider what else they've got, what other options they've got at quarterback. And I know that's... You know, I don't know if Harbaugh will do that because I don't know if he's going to bench a senior, but he really needs to consider it because Shea Patterson is not the answer. And if you keep running him out there, it's going to hurt you.
Stanford beats Washington, so we can now stick a fork in Washington. Where'd that come from?
I mean, I couldn't tell you, and I'm glad I laid off. I almost bet Washington in this game. I just kind of had written Stanford off as dead in the water. That's a nice showing. That's a good win for that team with a backup quarterback, by the way.
And it's also another punch in the nuts for the Pac-12.
It really is.
So Boise goes in and beats UNLV 38-13. They're looking pretty good for the best group of five school, although
especially after SMU almost choked it away.
Well, I still think Memphis is going to be heard from in that conversation.
Yep.
Oklahoma State goes into Tech and just gets housed. I mean, they made the score look better in the second half, but they got
That wasn't a close game.
Jet Duffy, that guy was terrific for Tech.
Yeah, and Hubbard continues to be really impressive running the ball. But you know, when you're down 20-0 or whatever it was in that, you can't focus on your run game.
Spencer Sanders has been pretty good for them, but boy, he was not Saturday. I mean, three interceptions. And I mean that was kind of the difference, but you know, credit to Texas Tech for a nice win. And man, I'm kicking myself so hard over this, AJ. I can't tell you how many times I had Tulsa punched at +10.5 against SMU, and I just couldn't make myself do it because SMU's been so good against the spread.
I think that's why. Well, the same reason you were talking about. I don't trust Oklahoma State at this number. I don't trust SMU at this number. When teams have been good to you, it's hard to just turn around and
bet against
fade
them.
Yeah.
And in both cases,
it would have worked. And now you know. And now maybe their price comes down a little bit, which could help you. SMU damn near lost that game outright.
But a good win for them to come back. And I mean, they were
they were getting run out of the building.
Yeah, and they get 21 fourth quarter points to send it to overtime and then win it in overtime. So it's a good win for them. They remain unbeaten. I still think Memphis right now is a class of that conference. And I think it's going to be interesting to see if it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But for one thing, Memphis has finally got to get past Central Florida.
Yeah.
But SMU's really good.
Central Florida is very beatable right now.
And Cincinnati is I know they got blown out by Ohio State.
Dude,
but that's the only thing they've done wrong.
Yeah, and there's no shame in that. And Cincinnati, by the time it's all said and done, would it shock me if Cincinnati's better than Memphis or SMU? Not one bit.
No. They're better than both of them.
They're still in that conversation, certainly.
Yeah, I think we can finally.
And the last game of the season is Cincinnati versus Memphis at Memphis. That might be the decider of the AAC.
Yeah. So, at least who goes to the
championship? Yeah. Who will probably? Well, no, because aren't Cincinnati and Memphis on opposite sides?
No, I think they're in this. I should know this off the top of my head.
But, I think SMU's in the same one with Memphis and UH and Tulane.
Yeah, I thought Cincinnati was on that.
Cincinnati's on the other one,
okay.
The East or whatever.
Did you see? Because they play those teams every year.
Yeah,
that's what confuses me.
I think they're East and West.
Yeah, they're East because Memphis, SMU, Tulane, Navy, Tulsa, Houston, and then Temple, Cincinnati, South Florida, UCF, Connecticut, East Carolina. Boy, that is so awful.
Yeah.
Other than UCF and Cincy, Temple's not that good. I know they're 4-1, but yeah.
And speaking of Tulsa, who just pushed SMU. I think Navy's going to have their way against Tulsa.
I think you're right.
And I think it's a pick 'em or a -1 or something like that.
It's at Navy?
I believe it is. I'd have to look at it again. But, yeah, that's just my first notes were, it's at Tulsa.
Oh, okay.
It's at Tulsa.
Well, I haven't looked yet, but my two wins were I had Buffalo +3.5 at home. They go to overtime and lose by 3. So
okay.
No, they lost by 1. They missed an extra point.
Okay.
It was 21.
They Texaned it.
Yeah, they did. It was 21-14. They score with very very little time left. Miss the extra point. 21-20, so that's a cover. And then I had Memphis to cover against UL Monroe. And they screwed around the whole game and finally pulled away late. So,
all right. You want your kids outside or do you want them inside taking up your TV?
I want them,
your Wi-Fi.
I want them outside shooting baskets.
Yeah.
Getting in shape.
Yeah. Do you want to be the next LeVar Ball or not? Do you want your kids to grow up and make you millions of dollars and have the Big Baller brand trademark?
How about Big Falcon brand?
The Big Falcon brand?
Yeah.
Fred, get a hoop for your son. Get a hoop for your daughter. Get your kids on that level. Yeah, I mean, hell, Katie could get a college scholarship and then go on to play in the WNBA and make tens of thousands of dollars a year.
And support me in my old
age. Just like that. But for real, if you want to get your kids out and have some fun, Pro Dunk Hoops. That's what you're wanting them to play on. Pro Dunk Hoops, the thickest steel of any goal on the market. The best goal on the market. Tempered glass backboard. They guarantee if it breaks or cracks for any reason, they'll replace it for absolutely free. And they've got one that's going to fit to your home, your driveway, whatever your situation is. They've got one for you, and they all adjust from 10 feet to 5 feet with the turn of a handle. Get your new hoops goal today. See it all at ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com, 281-351-9822. Get out there and get playing. ProDunkHoops.com.
Of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And guys, we'll go over these tomorrow, but I was just taking my first look at the lines. There's some stuff that's jumping off the page at me. I got to go get my numbers to back it up. But there's two or three that I'm looking at going, are you kidding me? Which is a good sign. By the way, Florida and LSU minus 13.
Yeah.
So Vegas certainly doesn't buy into this being a great game. Let's squeeze a couple calls in. Daniel, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Sports. Yeah, I just want to know, what is your, I guess, likelihood that the Texans throw up another 50-burger after AJ said that they wouldn't do it? After I asked him in the beginning of the year, I'll hang up and listen. And if you want to pick a team, go ahead. I'll listen. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. I mean, looking at the Texans' schedule, do they have any more defenses like that on the schedule? I mean, the Raiders, if they really wanted to give it up, the Raiders could do it. The Bucs could certainly do it.
But do you know how hard it is to score 50 points in the NFL? And let's be honest, they had to. The Falcons quit on that interception. Nobody even bothered chasing him. Or you don't get 50.
Yeah.
And that was just a – it's really hard to score that much in the NFL. So I would say
– I'll say zero again, and that's fine.
I'm not going to say zero. I'll say 1% chance.
Oh, I'm saying that they'll have zero. I was like saying over, under one half.
Yeah, I'll go under.
I'll go under.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you ask me something like that, occasionally I'll be wrong. But guess if you ask me that again next year, I'll probably say zero again because the odds are that's not going to happen.
And – please don't take this the wrong way, but I have no recollection of you calling and asking that whatsoever. I'm sure you did. I'm not doubting you.
Yeah, they've also had games where they scored 10 and 13 already this season.
Yeah, so let's, you know.
So, it, in a way, yeah, you were right. They're the most high-flying thing ever.
That's, it's like the guy who hit me up on Twitter talking about, oh, remember when you guys said Will Fuller couldn't play in the NFL?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. You know what?
He had a game.
He had a career game. Where were you the last 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's okay. You know, yeah, you win. Your medal's in the mail for being right. Yeah, sometimes you're wrong in this game. All right, let's do one more call. Lamar wants to get in. O'Brien. What's up, Lamar?
Hey, man, it's Lamont.
Lamont. Okay.
they have Lamar. Are you calling it under secret names now, Lamont? You undercover?
No, I mean. I'm guessing the call screen got my name wrong. I said it right, but I want to talk about Bill O'Brien because this is going up under the radar, man, and I thought that this would be bigger news, but the word is that Bill O'Brien didn't call that game yesterday, that Tim Kelly called that game yesterday, and it makes me think back to you guys in the opening of your show, in the first couple of segments, y'all was just saying, I mean, things just look really different out there. I'm not I know that the defense was poor. The Falcons defense was poor and they could have did that, but I'm just thinking
where'd you hear that from, Lamont?
Yeah, because I haven't seen that.
Where are you hearing that buzz from? I haven't seen anything about it.
I've seen it from 610 and a whole bunch of fans are saying that Bill O'Brien didn't have a play card And when I went back and watched the game today, Tim Kelly had the play card, and he was sending in plays. I mean, and that's only what I'm seeing. I don't know if it's true. And, you know, I would think that something that big would be, you know, like breaking news or something like that, or a big story. But, yeah, I mean, that's supposed to be the drip right there, man. That's all I have, fellas.
Yeah, I'm looking, like Sean Pendergast said today, actually got clarification on whether Tim Kelly was calling plays. Team source said NFL Films had O'Brien wired up, and O'Brien called every single play.
Okay. I'll
I really think it was just they looked different because they were playing the Falcons.
Yeah, I think that's part of it.
And, well, and but, it, not but, just not just because they were playing the Falcons, but also because
they had a very good game plan.
They had a good game plan. Deshaun got rid of the ball quickly.
Deshaun played out of his mind.
Yeah, too. He just had a career day.
I'll check with some people over there and hopefully have an answer for you tomorrow. But yeah, I'd be careful about fan speculation on stuff like that because it's fan speculation.
I also don't know if we can count Sean Pendergast as a reliable source. You know, that guy's a total he's a total degenerate. I don't trust him one bit. But but yeah, I'm not sure. I hadn't heard anything about it.
Yeah, that's and I mean, I guess it makes sense that people would speculate on that because they actually look good. It's. You know what? Maybe. And if that's not the case, let's give O'Brien some credit. I mean, I'm the first one to step on that guy's throat every chance I get because he's incredibly unlikable and he gives me plenty of reasons. But it's hard to criticize him for anything from yesterday. It really is. And, you know, if they're obviously not going to play that well on offense, maybe ever again. But, man, if you could just get some of that. And you're going to need it to be close to that if you're going to beat the Chiefs. I mean, I know the Chiefs lost, and, you know, the Colts got really physical with them and, you know, got a big win there. But, you know, I think the Texans are going to have to play at that level and then play better defense. So, Fortnite says, yes, Deshaun and Fuller look great, but Fred, please give a shout-out to Hyde. Guy's turning out to be an amazing addition. He didn't have the best game yesterday, but he sure fits what they do. And I like the way he hits the hole and gets through it. And if there's a hole there, he's gonna at least get you a few yards. He was solid yesterday. I still wish, and again, I don't. It's after a game like that, you don't want to be getting into too many negatives. But I do wish they'd run more screens to Duke Johnson at some point. I like him getting the ball out of the backfield, and you know they throw him some passes, but it's like outside. I kind of want to see some inside screens to him at some point. You know, didn't need it yesterday.
Nope.
But because after that first possession, they didn't get stopped until late. So 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Yeah, I think, you know, Lamar may stick.
Yeah. Austin on Facebook wants to know what y'all thought on Brown's money line tonight.
I mean,
last I saw it was plus 175.
No. Oh, yeah. Is that it?
Yeah, it probably is because they were plus 3.5. That seems high.
I saw it up to like plus 4.5.
Oh, really? Yeah, I'm seeing 5 now.
Yeah, it's in that dead zone. I mean, at 3, when it was at 3 for like a couple hours, I really liked San Francisco and I didn't play it. I think even 4, I kind of like San Francisco. Now it's in that, like, unless it hits a 7. I'm not playing Cleveland. It's just not going to be a play for me tonight.
Yeah, I don't have anything. If I had to, I would take the Browns. But I don't have a good enough feel for the game. No. So because the Browns are one of those teams, I feel like I've got them kind of figured out. Where I've been right on them when they've been good, and I've been wrong on them when they've been bad. I mean, I've been right on them when they've been bad, but...
You know, one team I've been right on every single week, and then I got scared and didn't play them this week? The Colts.
Yeah, you have been right, and you talked about that. So,
I didn't see them winning,
but I thought they'd cover.
Yeah, I don't know why. I regret not pulling the trigger on that, because yeah. I've really had that team pegged, and for whatever reason, I just was out on them this week. I wasn't against them, but I just didn't feel a play.
Yeah, Browns are plus 175 on my bookie.
Okay.
So, if you like them...
I don't like them.
I don't hate them.
Okay.
But, all right, guys, guess what? Did you play in that 50,000 guaranteed at Lions last week? Well, if you missed out, it was so successful. They're doing it again. Starting Thursday. And it's $120 buy-in. And they've got basically two flights each day. So Thursday, day 1A and 1B at 11 a.m. and 5 o'clock. Friday, 11 a.m. and 5 o'clock. Saturday, 11 a.m. and 5 o'clock. Any one of those times you can go in. And if you make it to day two, that's Sunday at noon, where, of course, you can watch all the games. And I'm telling you, George and Najib know what they're doing with these tournaments. $50,000 guaranteed.
Yeah, food is out of this world. And like Fred said, there's TVs everywhere. So you can watch the games on Sunday and Saturday, for that matter. Just get in there, have yourself a good time. BYOB, which is always nice. Check this place out for yourself. It's one of the best rooms Fred or I has ever played in. 6134 Richmond Avenue in Houston. Follow him on Facebook for all the tournament details. That's Lions Poker Palace. Lose control.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. I don't know why, but this song always makes me want to open a vein. American stand-up comedian Dane Cook and his Tell It Like It Is tour is coming to Revention Music Center on November 1st. At 6:52, we'll take caller 5 to 713-780-3776. You're going to win a pair of tickets to catch Cook for a good time and guaranteed laughs. Tickets are on sale now at LiveNation.com. All right, I guess let's do the Dumbass Report.
You remember when those guys broke into your garage?
I do.
Wouldn't it have been nice if one of them had left their cell phone there?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened in jolly old England. The Florida of Europe. A thief made a critical mistake. He left his cell phone at the scene. Someone broke into our garage last night, and they dropped something. Their phone in my car. She decided to make the mistake public by posting a picture of a phone, which features a close-up selfie of the alleged thief as the wallpaper.
Oh, that's too awesome.
Dumbass!
Who's got a selfie of themselves as their wallpaper? What's your wallpaper?
The wife.
What's your wallpaper, Aaron?
My wife.
Yeah, it's the wife on the phone, and on my laptop, it's the dog.
I was going to say, does that make me a bad person?
No,
you guys
no.
go with the wife, I've
no,
got my dog.
No, I've got my dog
no,
on
I've
my...
No, I've got my dog on my, yeah, on my laptop.
Okay, too. Okay, yeah. Okay. So your significant other or your dog or your
kids, that's pretty
maybe.
Cool, yeah.
Who puts a selfie as their wallpaper?
Someone who doesn't have significant others, dogs, or kids.
That's just arrogance.
And who steals.
Arrogance, I Night. Tell you. So she posted the picture, and suddenly people identified him. And the original post was shared 495 times. He had credit cards, bank cards, used them immediately. She's contacted police, and the suspect is in custody.
Go get him, Scotland Yard.
That would have been nice for you. Had that guy just left his phone behind.
Yeah, well, I would have just tracked him down myself and killed him.
Hey, you know when...
Just kidding. Don't look at me like that, Aaron. I was just kidding.
You know when you've got meth and you're like, I don't know if this is healthy meth.
Well, yeah, because there's good and bad meth on both sides.
Yeah. Well, Jennifer Hall in Alabama had a bag of meth, and she was worried that it was bad meth.
Well, I'm guessing in Alabama it probably was.
So she called the police and said, I want this dope tested. She thought her meth was tainted with another drug, fentanyl, which she knows could be deadly.
Yeah, so can we stop with the fentanyl stuff, guys?
Cops were kind enough to come out and test her drugs and arrest her and charge her with possession of meth. Mm-hmm. No word on if there was actual fentanyl in the meth.
Well, in Alabama, that's like one day in prison, right?
I think so. Yeah. I think it's like weed here. It's like a...
Yeah.
You got to go to a class.
Yeah, they slap you on the wrist.
Did you see this Texas guy who robbed the bank to pay for his wedding?
I did. That was the one that somebody sent us that I left you for the Dumbass Report.
Yeah, Heath Bumpus of Crockett.
Crockett, Texas.
Robbed a bank. And I guess... Have you seen his picture?
Yeah.
Tell me he doesn't look like fat Tim Burgess.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Who used to work for us here.
Very fat Tim Burgess.
Yeah, extremely fat. And Tim Burgess is skinny to begin with.
Yeah.
His fiance is the one who convinced him to turn himself in, apparently not wanting to get married to a bank robber, which probably a wise choice.
Not wise.
You know, if you're good at bank robbing, you don't have to get caught.
Well, I guess he got away with it, but his wife was like, you need to turn yourself in. First fiance.
See, I think that's what I'm going to do next is be a bank robber.
You think they're going to keep that thing going, the relationship?
Oh, yeah.
Finally, Clearwater, Florida. A man in Clearwater, Florida, Leonard Thomas, who's 55 years old, asked a woman out on a date. She declined, and he pulled out a machete. And said, how about I just cut you up then? The victim ran away and called police. After his arrest, he refused to cooperate, yelled obscenities at responding officers. He was, quote, heavily intoxicated at the time and remains behind bars.
I have a machete.
I mean, how about you girls stop being so hard to get and just...
I mean, that's what machetes are for, right? I mean, I have mine to clear land, but I'd be more than happy to use it if I had... Never mind.
Machete.
We didn't get to talk about it. The Snoop Dogg Kansas thing. Did you see that?
Yes.
We'll get to that tomorrow. All right. Good job, Aaron. Great job, AJ. Decent job, me. We'll do it again tomorrow unless the Astros are playing, in which case we'll see you on Wednesday.
Go Yankees, right?
Yeah. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.